I used to get mad at my school.
Can't get much worse, right? Getting better for the Montreal Canadiens. We'll find out. We're going to be, everybody except Rod's going to be in Buffalo for the draft. Melnick, Marinaro, Gallo, Campbell, and Dan Robertson, the voice of the Canadiens, and Connor McKenna. So the morning show right through the day, 2 days of complete coverage. I know we have a Stanley Cup final, but for Canadiens fans, it's like what's happening on draft day. Sgt. Pepper released June 1st, 1967. With Rod Francis. You sure you don't want to come with us? You sure? I'm running out of time here.
Yeah, I understand.
He's Mr. Buffalo Sports, Rod Francis, on this show, and we go to Buffalo and he's not with us.
Yeah, and I make sure to get there at least once a year, but I booked some travel for that time. Yeah, so...
Where are you going to be?
I'm going back to Nova Scotia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Halifax, Dartmouth, Sydney?
Precisely. Those three cities, Mitch. Yeah, exactly.
We'll see you in Buffalo, Gallo.
Yeah.
Last time we had Gordon Miller on.
He's always been really good internationally. He's been a very good player internationally. The question is, and Pavel Datsyuk would be a positive example of this, can you bring a Russian player over at that age, after that many years, and try to change their game?
We were talking about a guy the Montreal Canadiens were definitely interested in. Among several NHL teams, a veteran centerman pushing 30, Shipachov, it might be a moot point by now. Once again, welcome back from TSN, Gordon Miller. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. And you?
I'm great. It's June. The sun is shining. Yeah. Beautiful people all around the world will be here soon for the Grand Prix. Many of us leave when they arrive. I'm going to Buffalo for the draft. It's a beautiful...
You know that I knew a guy whose job in Formula One was to hand Nigel Mansell his hat? Seriously, that was his job.
I'm sure he made like six figures for doing that, right?
He walked behind Nigel Mansell with a box of hats, and when Mansell was interviewed in Britain, he'd wear his Michelin hat, and in United States, it was his Canon hat, and like he had all these different hats, and he was Nigel Mansell's hat guy.
Remember when Nigel Mansell pushed his car over the finish line?
Yes.
That was a great moment. What a great moment.
I love Formula One. I mean, obviously the pageantry. Murray Walker was the best.
Murray Walker.
The voice of the BBC. They called him Muddy Talker because he...
Oh, I know. Yeah, I wasn't aware of his name, but I know the voice.
Nothing wrong with that car except it's on fire.
So what's the latest on Shipachov here? Is he going to...
There's some question about his contract. So... It sounds like the KHL team in St. Petersburg is trying to hold NHL teams up for more money. And we're seeing more and more of this. He and his agents seem to be under the impression that his contract is up. His KHL team begs to differ. Well, guess who's going to win that? You might remember a few years ago when who was the Stanislav Chistov got inducted into the Army the day he was supposed to leave for North America and thrown into a paratrooper's barracks to try to squeeze some more money out of Anaheim. So I don't think he's coming, and I got to be honest, I'm not sure how good he'd be in the NHL. I mean, you saw Sergei Plotnikov last year for Pittsburgh and Arizona play 48 games and not score a goal.
Yeah, I'm not I don't know how to judge numbers of players that I've never seen play. So
he's an East-West player.
Right.
And he holds the puck, and he holds, and he waits, and he waits, and he outwaits everyone. The problem in the NHL is they close on you so fast. See, big ice hockey is very defensive, right? So you sit back and you wait for them to come to you. Small ice hockey is aggressive. You defend aggressively. You attack aggressively. You give the puck and get it back. That's the way you attack. And he doesn't seem that, for me, to have that. Now, some guys adapt, but how many, as I said last week, how many 29-year-olds will adapt?
Yeah. So if Marc Bergevin and any other team that was interested in helping themselves down the middle were looking at him, it's time for Plan B or C or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste too much more time on figuring that out.
Where do you fall in the Stamkos camp and what's going to happen? Do you believe it's a fait accompli Toronto, no matter the denials here all the way around?
I wouldn't say fait accompli. I would have said, Mitch, in February that he's staying in Tampa because he seemed comfortable. They seemed comfortable. It seemed like a good arrangement. I don't know now. I mean, the Lightning had a pretty good year without him in the playoffs, they got a problem because they've got Hedman up in a year. They've got to try to figure out how to keep Kucherov, Palat, Tyler Johnson, Ben Bishop. You can do all that if you let Stamkos walk.
But there is a large risk inherent in letting a guy who, when he's healthy, can score 50, right?
Right, there is. But the point is, you got to Game 7 in the conference final, right? Basically without him. We played the last game.
So do you believe him when he said this the day after they were eliminated?
I know it's a month away, but there really hasn't been that thought in my head. And I can sit here and honestly say that there hasn't. I mean, there hasn't been any discussions with, you know, even anyone, you know, my agents, my family, friends. I mean, my focus has been on, obviously, the health concerns the past couple months and this team and trying to help us win a championship, and that's really where it's been.
Like, I know how focused you have to be for the task at hand, but considering he spent so much downtime trying to get back in the lineup, you can't help but think, geez, he's starting to think about this, right?
Mitch, your contract's up July 1st. Your decision is to stay with the station you've been with your whole adult life or entertain offers from across Canada to radically change your life. You're not thinking about it?
We've already spoken, Gord.
Yeah.
We've already spoken.
Yeah, come on. Like, I mean,
and when does this window start? It starts pretty soon, right?
Yeah. 3 weeks, I think, right? It's a week before.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing for me is with Stamkos. He's a really good player. No question about it. I wonder if you can win with a player making that much money. Like, I really think the turning point for Chicago was when Taves and Kane got 10.5 each. I just don't know how. Like, they were a dynamite team with those two guys making 6-5. At 10-5, it doesn't fit. Now Brandon Saad's got to go. You know, too many players have to go when you've got that much money tied up in that few players. Now, Pittsburgh, I felt the same way about them with Malkin and Crosby. They've managed to find a lot of young guys. You know, I mean, Matt Murray is unbelievable. You know, Rust and Sheary and these guys have managed to fill in. And so they kind of put lie to that. But I just don't know, under the cap, if you're going to get Steven Stamkos to come to your team, it's going to cost you minimum $10 million a year on a 7-year deal. How many of those work out?
Since you mentioned the Blackhawks, the closest thing to a salary cap dynasty, that like every second year they have to basically define who their core guys are and slice and dice their way to the salary cap. I mean, like, what is that process like when you're a GM and you're talking to your associate GM and your assistant GM and your scouting staff, and you've got to identify your core guys and to think you've got a team here that could potentially identify their team and not include Stamkos as part of your core?
So it's an ongoing process. It goes on, you know, not just throughout the year, but goes on for several years. And you have to make the decision. And, it, you know, Steven Stamkos as a 50-goal scorer at $10 million may be less valuable than Tyler Johnson as a 30-goal scorer at $6 million. And it's counterintuitive, but it might be true. And you've got, you know, the difference is, Rod, in Chicago, they've started to chip away at the core there. They're starting to lose core player. Like, Brandon Saad was a core player for that team, and he had to go. You know, in past years, we saw guys who were sort of on the periphery of the core. You know, Bufflin was a really good player for them, but wasn't a key guy. But they're starting to chip away now at the core. Patrick Sharp going, Saad going. It just gets so hard to keep them. And I have this ongoing question. Can you be a long-term successful team with players making that much? And I'm not sure you can.
And the last time this came up, Pierre McGuire was saying something along those lines, a little different. And I said, that's why I don't like the salary cap. I understand why the NHL wanted but I think it penalizes success.
What I'd like to see is, you know, baseball has a 10-5 rule where if you've been 10 years in baseball and 5 years of the organization, you have an automatic no trade.
Right.
What I'd like to see is a 10-5 rule in hockey, where if you're 10 years in the league and 5 years with the organization, only half your salary counts towards the cap. If you leave that team, though, it's full boat.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
and
idea.
And maybe it's not 10-5. Maybe it's 10-8. Maybe it's, I don't know what the number is. Maybe it's 7. But after a certain point, let's reward teams that keep their players. But see, the league doesn't want that, right? The NHL doesn't want that. They want as much parity as possible. The standings are designed that way. The cap is designed that way. It's designed to bring the bad teams up and the good teams down. And it drives me nuts. I love English soccer.
Yep.
My friends in England laugh at me when we talk about, you know, we're capitalists. They're like, you have entry drafts and rookie caps and individual player caps and salary caps and no, like, if you want the, if Arsenal wants the best players, go out and get them. Right? If you want the best player, go get them. And that's the whole thing, right? And I don't understand. I mean, I understand it, but I mean, baseball doesn't have a cap and they have as much parity or more than anyone. Look who won the World Series last year. I mean, it drives me nuts, and I don't like to see good teams get punished. I don't like it, and I'm with you on that. I think it's, but there has to be some way to reward teams to keep their players because, you know, Chicago plays it right to the edge, and they do a real good job. They've won 3 cups in the last 6 years. But it's just, you know, seeing good players have to leave teams for no other reason than they can't afford them anymore because they've had success, that's against what sports is about. And it's not free enterprise.
Finishing up with Gord Miller, the Stanley Cup Final. We didn't know what the Stanley Cup Final matchup was the last time we spoke. What do you think? Do you think, look, you've pointed out the success that Chicago has had lately. The fact that Pittsburgh and San Jose playing the way they do, that Pittsburgh does not become a legit Stanley Cup threat unless they change the complete dynamic of the way they started playing this season. That is more up-tempo, a lot more speed and pace to their game. Yeah. That we're going to see more teams follow in this manner.
I hope so. This is John Tortorella hockey minus the craziness.
minus what? The shot blocking and the rough stuff?
Oh, no. Mike Sullivan, no, minus like the craziness of like charging the other team's dressing room, you know, going haywire after games, threatening to kill Larry Brooks, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mike Sullivan is, you know, a longtime assistant for John Tortorella. He loves that safe as death mentality. Attack, attack, attack. Pace, 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 right? Push the pace, push the puck. And, you know, you have to have the players to do it. It's great to watch. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought that was a terrific game on Monday night. And, you know, it could have gone either way. I mean, San Jose didn't think they played well. It was a one-goal game that could have gone either way.
We think they're great. We actually threw them on the game review for our guys to listen to. They got a kick out of it, but it's entertaining, that's for sure. I hope we hear a few more of those.
I sorry to cut you short there, Gord. I wanted to get that in, that Punjabi call of the Bonino winning goal the other night.
Awesome. Andreas Cantor, the great soccer announcer? My favorite was an Argentine caller who was like, you know, go, 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 viva Argentina, viva Argentina. I was at the World Cup in 98 in France, and Chile scored against Italy, and the Chilean announcers in front of me were jumping up and down and hugging.
Well, how about this one? Where is this one from? Is this Mexico?
Pachuca.
Yeah, the team that the Impact lost to in CONCACAF. This is over the weekend.
Vuelven los tuzos. Va el servicio. Pelota por arriba. Remata de cabeza. Gol.
He held his breath for 14 seconds there, Gord.
Is that guy still alive? He must have got life support somewhere. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I just don't have that club in the bag.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I think we'd be disappointed if you suddenly morphed into one of those guys.
Sorry.
Thanks an awful lot. Enjoy game 2 tonight.
Talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't think Gord has to add much to his resume of important goal calls through the years, huh? When we come back, Hall & Oates tickets at the Bell Center, June 21st, up for grabs. Pierre McGuire between the benches in Pittsburgh. And then Bob Elliott, retiring baseball writer for the Toronto Sun after 40 years. Tonight's his last day on the job. He's retiring in the middle of the season. He's had enough of the Blue Jays, I think. He'll be joining us after 5:30 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Afternoon.